to South Sudan and focus on the voice of America. I'm Ayen Dangbior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. Residents in Ye take measures to protect themselves from the coronavirus.
Many people, they don't know what corona is. So we are appealing that at least the government and the other international partners, they have to respond, especially the World Health Organization, so that awareness was carried everywhere.
And an analyst says South Sudan is not doing enough to prevent the spread of the coronavirus.
I can see that on the street of Juba, things were going business as usual, which means that people are not yet sensitized on these measures.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The government has announced a number of measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19 to South Sudan, including closing all learning institutions, banning public social gatherings, and shutting down all inbound and outbound flights. One analyst says while the measures are good, they're not enough. Waki Simon Mudu has more for VOA from Juba.
Akwai Cham, assistant professor at the School of Public Health at the University of Juba, welcomes the measures the government has put in place to prevent coronavirus from reaching South Sudan, but says officials must do more to enforce those measures. He says many Juba residents have not changed their behavior despite the government's directives issued last Friday.
As of that day, the same weekend, I can see that on the street of Juba, things were going business as usual, which means that people are not yet sensitized on these measures. So if that's the case, then the government has to strategize the communication strategies to reach out to the people so that people understand the severity of this pandemic disease.
Cham says some newly appointed ministers are still hosting parties to celebrate their appointments. President Salva Kiir's orders ban all social gatherings. Cham says South Sudanese society is rigid and is typically slow in adjusting to change. He says in order to ensure that people follow the new guidelines to protect themselves from the pandemic, the government must put in place tough enforcement measures.
Handshake is common here. Even after the order was issued, you know that people have to worry about turning people down when the people hand you, try to shake your hand and say thank you, there's no handshaking. You know how they feel. And this is some of the cultures we still have to deal with.
Another problem is tea places on the streets, Cham says, where people often gather to sit down and talk, or those who play dominoes in the streets. He says many South Sudanese have little or no knowledge of the coronavirus pandemic, since most South Sudanese do not have access to the internet or television, and most cannot read or write. Cham is urging the government to focus on educating citizens so they can understand how the virus spreads. There is no confirmed case of coronavirus in South Sudan. Nonetheless, the government ramped up preventive measures, including closing Juba International Airport and all other border entry points last night. Still, Cham says the government needs to do more.
We are not an island, and I will not put an optimistic face that we will stay like this for long. It is just a matter of time, and I don't mean to scare people, but we have to prepare for the worst.
Latest media reports indicated that South Sudan's southern neighbor, Uganda, has now confirmed 9 cases of coronavirus. Most countries surrounding South Sudan, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the Central African Republic have all confirmed cases of coronavirus. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
The Muslim holy month of Ramadan, due to begin in late April, usually marks the peak period for Muslims performing Umrah. But in view of the fast spread of coronavirus, Saudi Arabia's decision to temporarily ban its citizens and foreign residents from performing the Umrah has changed all travel plans. The outbreak of coronavirus could also potentially affect the much larger annual pilgrimage.
It impacted it in a way like never before. Business has closed, all travel business, specifically Umrah. We anticipate, and the Saudi authorities have made it clear, that there will be no Umrah business during Ramadan this year. So there will be no sales.
There are already visas and air tickets issued. There are also hotel reservations made in Mecca and Medina. What will happen to them?
The hotels have been the most reasonable. For the most part, they have refunded because of the ban. However, they have not been as eager to refund the deposits for future bookings, even though more than likely those will also be canceled. The airlines have been giving refunds in some cases, but other cases they have not been giving refunds, which again has been difficult. And the Saudi government has not refunded anyone for the tourist visas. So that has been a lost cost that has been passed on to the consumer. So the travel agents haven't felt that portion of it, but the consumer has. But yes, I believe the travel agents, for the most part, at least I can speak from our company, have been much more responsible in getting the consumer their money back than these large vendors. They have not been as fast as they should be.
The outbreak of coronavirus could potentially affect also the much larger annual Hajj or pilgrimage. Your company is a major provider for pilgrimage packages for American Muslims. What would happen to those who planned through your company to perform the one-lifetime journey to Mecca?
Our exact policy is anyone who wishes to cancel during the ban, even though the government hasn't officially canceled yet, will be allowed a full refund. And should the cancellation come of Hajj, they will also get a full refund. So on our end, we intend to fully refund everyone their money back. For our company, of course, financially, we're going to take a major hit, unlike anything we've ever been before. But we've been around for 30 years, and we feel that how we behave during this crisis and this period will only strengthen our position and build us loyalty with the clients who will appreciate that we did the right thing during these times. So that is has been our approach to this pandemic.
Many travel agencies like your company deal greatly with pilgrims and other airline trips and are likely to take a major hit, as you said. Would your travel agency benefit from President Trump's stimulus package?
Not nearly enough. The stimulus package only helps travel agencies as so far as it helps any other small business. They recognize that the airlines and the hotels are under unique stresses at the moment, and they've offered the big companies aid. They have not at all looked to the travel agencies or the consolidation market, which is, you know, all the major travel agencies in the country, which is a multi-billion dollar market in itself. They've offered no aid for them whatsoever. So the only thing we're going to benefit from is the paid leave, which is allowed for companies with 500 employees or less. We can get payroll tax deductions later on and still give our employees paid leave, which is better than nothing. But no, we feel the package needs to address the entire line of companies in the supply chain.
So with canceled overseas travel plans and closure of airports and suspension of airline trips, how could you sustain your business?
No company will be able to earn revenue this quarter or next quarter. That's certain, considering what's happening and with the outlook. Our plan has been to, number one, behave ethically and correctly during these times in hopes of retaining business for the future. Try to survive this windfall any way we can by cutting expenses that are unnecessary. And hoping that we are able to sell travel programs for the future just to bring in revenue. People still need to travel, and we do expect these bans to lift at some point. So anyone traveling October or November or beyond, it seems like a safe bet to travel. In addition, certain airlines have allowed their programs to be refundable, all their tickets, so that if you buy and the corona ban is still in effect, you can get your money back. So we're also trying to encourage customers to buy now. In the meantime, we're just trying to hold tight and behave ethically and correctly and hope that customers will see that and trust in us for when business starts to come back.
VOA's senior analyst Mohammed Al-Shanawi spoke with Mohammed Khalil, vice president of Adam Travel, one of the top providers of Umrah and pilgrimage packages to American Muslims, about the impact of the virus on travel business. Human Rights Watch calls on Ethiopia to restore internet and phone access in Western Oromia. VOA's Salem Solomon has the story.
Millions of Ethiopians in Western Oromia are cut off from phone and internet access due to a government-imposed shutdown, the advocacy group Human Rights Watch said. The lack of information is particularly important as Ethiopians seek vital news about the global spread of coronavirus. Lead researcher Letitia Bader says it is also making it difficult for outside observers to gauge the humanitarian needs inside the Oromia region.
This means that their relatives who are living outside of the region are struggling to get any information about what's going on. This has also had an impact on the number of humanitarian actors who haven't been able to get good information on what the humanitarian situation and the security situation is like. So this is really having an impact on people both inside and outside of these affected areas. And this is happening within a context of reports of increasing counterinsurgency operations by the federal government and by the regional authorities in the area.
As of Sunday, Ethiopia had only 11 reported cases of coronavirus, but experts have urged the need for a nationwide public education campaign using television, internet, and radio. Health professionals are spreading the word of the importance of good hygiene habits and giving information on how to spot symptoms. The government's refusal makes it likely that key information is not reaching everyone, including those vital to control efforts in Western Oromia, healthcare workers, and humanitarian organizations, Bader wrote in a statement. The Ethiopian government began cutting connections to mobile phone networks, landlines, and the internet in the Oromia region, Human Rights Watch said. Affected areas include Kalem Wallaga, West Wallaga, and Horu Gudu Wallaga zones. The government's move is reported to be in response to unrest in the region, including clashes between government forces and the Oromo Liberation Army. Hayid Dedna, the Oromia regional spokesman for the ruling Prosperity Party, said the armed group is more dangerous than the virus. I would say that in Wallaga, there isn't a virus, coronavirus, worse than Shane, the armed wing of OLA in Western Oromia. It can be demonstrated with reason, he said, speaking about an ongoing counterinsurgency operation in the Oromia region. It is important, he added, to think about the safety of the population. Internet and mobile phone access in the country is controlled by Ethio Telecom, which has about 57 million subscribers. The blackout has prompted a Twitter campaign using the hashtag #ReconnectTheWestETH. Additionally, on March 20, the International Oromo Lawyers Association wrote a letter to Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed demanding change. The population is suffering behind a dark curtain, the group wrote in the letter. Without access to information of what is happening in these areas, public scrutiny of the act of the government is impossible. But Taye questioned how much of a role the internet has in preventing the spread of coronavirus in Ethiopia. Let alone in Wallaga, internet users across the country are very few, he wrote in a Facebook post in Amharic. Therefore, in order to disseminate the information, it is enough that people get information through radio and television. Bader said the current shutdown is part of a pattern by the government that included 9 shutdowns in 2009. She said the lack of access to information is eroding trust in the federal government.
The government should be looking at finding ways to make sure that information can flow freely, that important discussions about security situations, social unrest can take place in a peaceful and positive manner. And obviously these blanket communication bans are a problem.
Salem Solomon, VOA News, Washington.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Two armed robbers are sentenced to prison in Bor. Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Do you believe in fate?
Yes, I do believe in fate. I do believe that once you have been given a particular purpose, fate will definitely make you get into it, whether you turn to the negative or the positive direction. Eventually, you get to achieve what has been planned for you.
Sometimes I do, because there are sometimes opportunities that comes unexpectedly, but sometimes I don't believe in it because everything is possible.
I don't believe in fate because I think once in life, no matter the family or your background, things can change. Your life had not been arranged in a certain way that you had to, no matter what, follow that change.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
It's time for our Tuesday Health segment, and today we're talking about COVID-19. Despite the government's directives issued last week on preventing the spread of coronavirus, residents and medical workers in Central Equatoria State's Yei County say many people are ignoring the orders. They say many people still shake hands and continue to attend social gatherings. Daniel Friday Martin has more for VOA from Yei.
Although Yei Town authorities reiterate President Salva Kiir's directives on preventing the spread of the virus, Yei officials say many residents are not observing the call to protect themselves. Joy Alaime, a resident of Yei's Jigomoni neighborhood, says many neighbors still attend church services and gather for funerals and other events because they haven't heard about the virus.
Many people, they don't know what corona is. So we are appealing that at least the government and the other international partners, they have to respond, especially the World Health Organization, so that awareness was carried everywhere. House-to-house awareness will be carried out in all the communities.
Proskovia Amude, a resident of Yei's Haigwafa neighborhood, is urging the government to order traffic and immigration departments to regulate the movement of commuters and traders across the country.
They have to stop people from moving anyhow, like most especially these business people who are moving up and down, squeezing themselves on the vehicles, which is not good, and also those who are selling in the marketplaces. You get people are so much congested, it's going to bring more about coronavirus here in South Sudan.
Yei Town resident Anifa Maneno says people who are aware of the virus want to protect themselves, but some families cannot afford masks, sanitizers, and soap.
It's really expensive in the market. We cannot afford it. Like the liquid soap is really expensive. It's also ranging from 5,000 to 6,000. It is also rare in the market, and this needs also to be brought from other places. I just wanted the government maybe to just educate people on how to prevent themselves from getting this virus.
So far, there are no confirmed cases of coronavirus in South Sudan, but there are in neighboring countries like Uganda, Sudan, Kenya, Ethiopia, and DR Congo. Dr. Joseph Malis, the medical director at Yei Civil Hospital, says anyone who is experiencing symptoms should self-quarantine for 14 days.
Let the patient experience fever, headache, and respiratory symptoms like coughing, shortness of breath associated with generalized fatigability. You see someone is having that symptoms and seek for medical attention.
Dr. Milton Miller, a medical official at Yei Civil Hospital, says medical workers are educating patients about how to protect themselves against catching the virus.
Prevention is always better than cure, and I will urge people to still continue ensuring personal hygiene, like hand washing, avoid our tradition of communal eating and the gatherings, and then generally we should avoid shaking hands by now, because we don't know when we shall have our first case.
Dr. James Wani, Director General in the former Yei River State Health Ministry, says a team of community health workers will be dispatched to sensitize the community about coronavirus.
We have our team on the ground. We emphasize, we also inform them about this issue of prevention, and thank God also now I think the border is closed, so our team on the ground are ready for preparedness. So we have team on the ground, we call Bomber Health Initiative. initiative team about the community, what they are doing in case of anything, they inform us.
Yeah, River County is located on the borders of Uganda and DR Congo, both of which have confirmed coronavirus cases. For VOA News, I am Daniel Friday Martin in Yei, Central Equatorial State.
As the global community grapples with the COVID-19 pandemic, economies are reeling under the weight of the disease. Zimbabwe is one of those vulnerable nations because of the economic downturn the country has been experiencing. Adigondo gives us more on the story.
Zimbabwe's creative and cultural sector and tourism are reeling from the coronavirus scourge as crowds vanish due to the practice of social distancing. The National Arts Council of Zimbabwe has ordered artists and organizers to cancel events following the presidential proclamation of a national state of disaster. Bulawayo is widely regarded as the country's cultural hub, where thousands of youthful creatives eke out a living amidst a biting economic meltdown. Local groups such as Nobuntu, an all-female a cappella imbube ensemble, and dance group Iasa occasionally tour the world to earn their living. With travel bans and flight cancellations due to the COVID-19 pandemic, these groups are likely in for a long, dry patch. Bulawayo is also home to the 16-year-old Intwasa Arts Festival that has attracted artists from across the SADC region each spring. VOA spoke to Raisdon Bayer, the festival's director. Bayer is also an industry leader as one of the founders of the Bulawayo Arts Awards. He says that the situation is dire for artists.
It's a virus that discourages gatherings. And basically creatives depend on gatherings for survival. And that basically means for the maybe the near future, that won't happen. For the festival, I think it also happens in September. And just yesterday, talking to some of our partners and other people, a lot of people are afraid to plan beyond probably the 60 days.
Nkosilati Ncube, age 35, a local artist, agrees.
An artist will not make anything at all because we are not selling CDs. There is piracy, there's no pension, there's no whatever. So an artist depends on a musical show. Once you say musical shows are being cancelled, you have already what? Shut down the musical industry and artists will not survive in the country.
The World Tourism Organization has estimates that COVID-19 could cause $30 to $50 billion in losses in international tourism receipts. Regional airlines such as South Africa's Airlink has suspended flights to Victoria Falls and other tourist hotspots. Reporting for VOA, this is Adigondo.
A court in the Jonglei State Capital, Bor, has sentenced two more convicted armed robbers, one to prison and the minor to a reformatory, sending a clear message that armed robbery will no longer be tolerated. The two were also ordered to return the stolen items and compensate the victims. Deng Gai Deng has the story for VOA in Bor.
Jonglei State High Court Judge John Yala Leo says 18-year-old Matiang Bull and 14-year-old Mayan Garang were found guilty of an armed robbery that occurred on February 26.
During the trials, the two accused has been convicted. The juvenile, Mayan Garang, has been convicted to be sent into reformatory for 3 years, as starting from today, 23rd of March 2020, under Section 237 and 205. Penal Code Act 2008, read together with Section 181, Child Act 2008, and the accused person, Matiang Bol, to be sentenced into prison for 5 years, started from the date of his arrest, the 26th of February 2020, under Section 237 and 305, Penal Code 2008.
Bull will serve his jail term in Bor Central Prison, while the minor, Mayan Garang, will serve his term in the Juvenile Reformatory Center in Juba. Judge Aleu says the parties have 15 days to appeal. Speaking in Dinka, Bull Gag, the father of convicted robber Matiang Bull, says he will not appeal the decision.
What they do is not good. Going around attacking and robbing people in the street is not nice, and nobody is happy with it. The court made its decision based on its investigations, We have agreed that they go to prison.
Gak says while he agrees with the sentence, he does not have the money to compensate the complainants for the stolen items, nor does he have a bull to give the complainants in compensation for the injury sustained during the robbery as ordered by the court according to traditional law. Speaking in Dinka, complainant Ayuna Magongolwal, who was injured during the robbery, says he welcomes the judge's decisions.
I was moving with my friends along Langbari Street in the evening when we were attacked, beaten up and robbed. Now the judge has convicted the attackers. That is what I wanted. When I opened the case against them, I wanted them to face justice.
David Garangoch of the Jonglesable Society Network praised the court sentencing, saying it will reduce cases of violent crime in Bor Town.
There has been a lot of criminals and gangs in Bor Town. Now, this court decision, which has taken two of them in prison, is a very good decision that the civil population needs. We need to be free. And this scenario will help transform our community. If the gang, the robbers, the criminal are managed like this.
2 weeks ago, the same court sentenced two convicted armed robbers to 10 years in prison and a third one to 3 years in prison. Several armed robberies at shops and homes during nighttime hours have been reported in Bor Town in recent weeks. Residents say they want police to patrol the town and residential areas, but police say they do not have the resources to conduct regular night patrols. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng in Bor.
Here's a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Ayen. The government announced a number of measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19 to South Sudan, including closing all learning institutions and banning public social gatherings, even though there are no confirmed cases of the virus in South Sudan. One analyst says while the measures are good, more must be done. Akwe Cham, assistant professor at the School of Public Health at the University of Juba, says many residents have not changed their behavior in Juba, noting he saw people going about their business as usual last weekend. And Chem says newly appointed ministers hosted parties to celebrate their appointments even after President Kiir banned all social gatherings. Residents and medical workers in central Equatoria State's Yei County say many people there still shake hands and continue to attend social gatherings. Joel Ayume, a resident of Yei's Jigamoni neighborhood, says many neighbors still attend church services and gather for funerals and other events because they haven't heard about the virus. Proskovia Amudi, a resident of Ye's High Guava neighborhood, is urging the government to order traffic and immigration departments to regulate the movement of commuters and traders across the country. And finally, a court in the Jonglei state capital Bor has sentenced two more convicted armed robbers, one to prison and the minor to a reformatory, sending a clear message that armed robberies will no longer be tolerated in the area. The two were also ordered to return the stolen items and compensate the victims. Jonglei State High Court Judge John Yiel Alu says 18-year-old Mathang Bull and 14-year-old Mayang Goreng were found guilty of an armed robbery that occurred last month. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
And that's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Back to Love by Brimo.
Forget the place I did come from. I've been to save myself before. Now I did lose myself the more and more. You've been waiting way too long. Them they tell you say you go reach your time. When you chase the lights, the fame, the action. Remember to come with the sense for caution. I'm going back to the
been listening to Brimo with the song Back to Love. I'm Ayun Dangbior. Thanks for listening, and remember to join us tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Going back to the light, to the place where life was involved. I'm going back to love. My days are cold, my nights are cloudy. Your loving made me strong. I'm coming back to you, coming back to happy. Waiting way too long. The time